Welcome to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Good morning, Mr. Napolitano and Mr. Rushforth.
Good morning, Steve and Paul.
Good morning, guys. Hello.
Welcome back, Paul.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Welcome to show number 70 with a studio all to myself.
Oh, wow.
That many?
70. Wow. It's our 710th show today, and 70 of them have been without you guys here. It's kind of nice,
wow.
Actually.
And 600, I bought breakfast, so
it's been nice for my pocketbook, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Well, pocketbooks had no impact, Paul. Zero impact.
What happened to your pocketbook with soccer, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I apologize, Frank. You were right. You guys are the champs. The Italians are the champs. And I paid my bet. I totally forgot about it, but I eventually paid my bet.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
All right. Spectacular day. Nice and sunny. I'm sure the market is just booming. Right, Paul?
You know what, guys? It's really weird. I mean, I'm not going to say we're not in a strong seller's market because we're still in a seller's market, but it's just we've seen a total shift. I mean, you know, we're still seeing some getting multiple offers, but we're seeing lots of properties going conditional sold. We're seeing, you know, lots of conditions in offers now. So we're getting back to more of a normal market that we've seen over the years, maybe a little stronger than the normal market we've seen over the years, but it's just definitely not the Jan, Feb, and March that we saw. I mean, I mentioned last week, the first 3 months of the year, the average sale price went up 117,000. In the last 3 months, it's gone up 12,000. So it's still going up, but we're just not seeing what we saw in the first 3-4 months of the year.
Well, that's good for the market, is it not?
It is. It is. I mean, it's, you know, it was so frustrating for buyers trying to get into this market and, you know, spending 100 to 150, sometimes 200,000 over asking price and sometimes even losing with that. So it was a really tough market for buyers. And I think our market was slowly starting to get a little bit out of control. So we're still seeing, you know, solid sale prices, but it's just, we're not seeing what we've seen over the last, you know, over the first 3-4 months of the year. And it's probably more healthy for everybody in the market, including sellers, because keep in mind, what they're selling for today, they still would never have sold for last year at that price. So
yeah,
even 6 months ago. So they've had a huge uptick in pricing, and they're benefiting from what happened in the first 4 months of the year.
Where are we at for listings?
2,270. So we're still hovering around that 2,000.
Pretty steady, eh, Paul?
Pretty steady. I think for the first... I don't think we got over 2,000 listings anytime last year, really. I mean, maybe a few times. And even this year, we weren't over 2,000 until the last few weeks. We've been over 2,000. Now we're at 2,270. Keep in mind, for the realtors listening, I only pull 601 to 9404, those areas that we all trade in. But I keep an eye on a few things. I'm keeping an eye on the condo market again. Condo market is up to 522 active condos on the market, which is starting to increase. During our prime of the first 4 months of the year, we were nowhere near 200. So now we're up to 502. So that's increasing as well. And we're seeing, especially in the East, we're seeing a lot more listings hitting the market and staying on the market a little bit longer. The West and the South is still really strong, where the East is struggling a little bit when it comes to active listings on the market.
How's the future look, Frank? You still doing lots of pre-approvals?
Lots of pre-approvals. Lots of them are waiting till the fall. So honestly, I can understand why Paul's saying some of the activity is a little lighter than we were accustomed to. Certainly in some neighborhoods, I think it's feeling like it's more of a balanced market than it is a seller's market, which is awesome. Other neighborhoods are still in high demand. And, you know, if a listing pops up, I imagine there's going to be lots of offers for it. But as far as clients, especially first time, you know, it's an interesting cycle we're going through right now. I mean, it's really difficult as a single income to qualify for a mortgage. So what do you do? I mean, you know, some people have access to the bank of mom and dad, but not everybody does. So, you know, we've seen quite a few interesting cases where specific files where two friends are buying homes or two couples are buying a home. Wow. So that they can share it for the first 2 or 3 years and then at least get into the market for now and then be able to turn around 3 or 4 years from now, build some equity, hopefully, and be able to buy it on their own, buy individually on their own. They've got a contract set out where here's what's going to happen at the end of 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And it's all outlaid right up front. And that's what I certainly recommend if you're going to go down that road, whether it's buying it with another couple or buying it, just two friends buying it or three friends buying it. make sure you get all the rules in place prior to signing and closing on it, because you never know what could go wrong. Oof. I mean, you know, you could have three friends and all of a sudden one of them gets into a relationship and one wants out, then it could get messy. So instead of impacting your friendship, have all the rules out laid up front so that when something happens, the rules are already set and that's what you go by.
How does that work for an approval with two couples, Frank?
Four people are on the mortgage. We're using four incomes. We're using four credit reports. We're using four, four liability screens, four asset screens. I mean, it's no different. I mean, if you qualify, you qualify. They have to sign an affidavit at the lawyers that they're going to be living in the property. And again, I mean, if you're buying a single home with four bedrooms and, you know, it's two couples that are no kids yet, I don't know. Maybe that's a way to get into the market to begin with.
Do you see people getting more and more creative over the next 6 months?
We're going to have to, because again, as the prices have gone up, I mean, luckily the interest rates have remained low, which is fantastic. I mean, bond market came down about 10% this week. So again, there's no, at least in the future, it doesn't look like near future rates are going up anytime soon. But, you know, I think people have to, you know, there's a lot of Canadians that want to get into home ownership and it's getting tougher and tougher to get into it. And you've got to become a little more creative. So, you know, I was reading an article this morning on the BC coast where an older couple wanted to sell their property, and it was a property with a number of cottages. And they, a bunch of people got together and formed a co-op, and they bought the cottages together. And they actually had higher offers from builders who wanted to tear down all the cottages and put something bigger up. But the older couple didn't want that. They wanted to retain what they had, and they actually went with that offer. So it's just interesting to see, depending on who the sellers are. Listen, some sellers are in it for money, other sellers, and I think Paul will relate to. I mean, you know, sellers were getting letters from potential purchasers why they want to get the home. And, you know, they have a kid that wants to go to this specific school. And in some cases, I think sellers probably accepted less from those than they would have from somebody else, depending on what the circumstances were.
We had a couple actually during sort of a hectic season, like, you know, I think it was maybe even March. We had their house listed for $1 million and they ended up getting an offer for 1.1 that they wanted to take because they liked the people. And I was like, but we're going to get more. Doesn't matter. I like the people.
Wow.
So, you know, there's circumstances where that happens. I think they probably left $50,000 to $70,000 on the table because they liked the people, but that's just the way it was.
Are those circumstances rare though, Paul? Like usually
very rare. Because
if I'm looking at my pocketbook, I'm going, you know what? I don't really care if I like these people or not.
If I'm selling my property, I don't care who's living in it. Yeah. Once I'm out of it, I don't care as long as I get top dollar for it. But there are some people that care. They, you know, and Frank, you talked about when we were going through all these crazy multiple offers, that a lot of times, obviously, we talked about getting a pre-approval letter for that property was huge. But letters and videos from the potential buyers go a long way for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are very home proud and they want to sell their house to, you know, a nice family or, you know, a nice young couple or a nice elderly couple. And sometimes that goes a long way, getting a letter or video from the potential buyers.
Do they ever backfire, Paul?
The letters?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, how does it backfire when you have, you know, your little Johnny saying, I really want to live in your house? You know, how does that backfire? So it's, I don't think they can ever backfire, but they do go a long way for a lot of people. That's for sure. And we've seen creative things. We've seen lots of people do videos and which go a long way as well. And there's so many different things you can do to win a multiple offer. And that's why in the crazy season, even now we're still in a good market, it's important to listen to someone who knows what to do in order to win those multiple offers or apply with someone. Sorry.
Would you ever do that as part of your marketing? Video a couple or video a person that's looking at a house if you need that little extra added push?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a smart idea. Any single thing to put you over the top in a multiple offer situation is important. And Frank talks about, you know, getting a pre-approval is great, but if you can get a pre-approval for that property, that's even more powerful than just getting a solid pre-approval.
Are you still getting those tailor-made questions, Frank? People want to
Once in a while. I mean, if they see a property that they love and they want to put an offer on it, they'll ask us to do an actual specific pre-approval letter that is specific to that property so that they can hand it in with their purchase agreement, which is fantastic. I mean, it works. You know, it allows us to vet the property as well, look at the MLS, make sure there's no red flags on it. But again, I mean, we're seeing less and less of it, obviously, as the market has calmed down a little bit. And, you know, we thought the market was going to calm down at some point. It's happened during the summer. I think everything opened up. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think the market will pick back up. At least I feel like in the fall, the market will pick back up again. I think this is just a little lull for people just getting back to normalcy and getting out and maybe going away, camping, and you know, a lot of things that they haven't been able to do over the last 16 months, they're taking advantage of now, and they'll resume to normal activities, I think, in September. I don't think it's going to get as crazy as it was in the spring, but I do believe that we'll see a lift in people buying homes.
But as a rule, next to Christmas, this is usually the slowest time of the year, is it not, Paul?
Well, it is. It's definitely the slowest time of year, mainly because, listen, we live in Canada. Like, we live in a snow belt. Like, so it's when we get warm weather, we like to get outside. So usually we'll see it. You know what, though? Sometimes it's hit or miss. I mean, sometimes we get a busy summer, but there's lots of times. I even look at my team. Half my team's away right now on vacation or taking some time off to golf. They deserve it. They've been cooped up for the longest time. And I know there's a lot of consumers that have, you know, been through this crazy market and been like, you know what, I'm just going to put my hands up for a couple months and just enjoy myself and go out, eat in restaurants and go on vacation. Come when the kids go back to school, I'll get back at it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Frank, is there still such a thing as a cashback mortgage?
Yeah, they're out there. Some of the banks offer them. We've got a couple of lenders that offer them. They're not very, I usually don't recommend them because they have clauses in them that say, and some of the lenders have clauses where if you broke the mortgage 3 or 4 years, if you have to pay off the mortgage 3 or 4 years in because of a circumstance outside of your control, you got to pay back the entire cash back, where other places have it where, you know, if you're 3 years into it, then you only got to pay back the last 2 years prorated as far as the cash back. So, you know, for some people, they work. Very few people, though, because you got to keep in mind that if you're getting a cash back mortgage, you're likely getting a higher rate as well. The bank isn't giving money away for free. In many cases, they've got, you know, stipulations around it. So I'd be cautious. I'd make sure that you read all the fine print and make sure that you understand what you're getting yourself into.
I was reading an article this week, and they seem to be concerned now about rates going up in the next year, 2 years, and people being over their head in debt because of the small down payments and the amount the mortgages are at these days.
Yeah. You know what? I can't speak for the rest of the country. I can tell you that within our database, and I look at our customers and I look at the average credit score that our customers have, keep in mind, I mean, we're qualifying everybody at 5.25%. So they're being qualified at 5.25%. And even before the stress test took effect June 1st, it was 4.79. So that's much, much larger, obviously, rate than they're getting on their existing mortgage. I mean, anywhere from 1.84 to, you know, 2.34, 2.39. So there's a big difference in the two, and they're qualifying based on that. So again, with the applications that I see, I don't see anybody stretching themselves. If anything, I mean, there's clients that are qualifying for a lot more and yet borrowing a lot less. So
they seem to be concerned about the size of the mortgages now, though.
But the size of the mortgage is relative in comparison to the size of the house. I mean, you know, I saw one of the brokers, a friend of mine in Toronto, did a little flashback, and he flashed back to, you know, you'll remember this, Steve, 40 years ago.
Barely remember.
1981. And his comment was so accurate. He said, if you borrowed $100,000 in 1981, the cost of interest for a year was $18,000 because the interest rate was 18%.
Yeah.
While today, if you borrow $900,000 at an interest rate of 2%, your cost for the year is $18,000. It's the same, except for I like to think that our incomes are substantially higher 40 years later to be able to afford that interest cost. Now, the principal payments are higher, but you've also got a bigger asset as well. So again, I mean, I can only talk about what I see, the applications I see and the clients, and very, very few clients that we're doing mortgages for are in a position that they don't have a fallback. So they're not up against it so that if they missed a paycheck, they would be in trouble.
Right.
Are there some? Sure there are, but very, very small percentage.
But the default number is still super low, correct?
Less than 0.3%.
Wow.
I mean, it's absurd. I mean, there is no default. I mean, the stress test, if anything, it's done really well on, it's maintained the low, the low ratios as far as, you know, people that are in default, the mortgages. Talk to most banks, and You know, over the last year, year and a half, they've had a very small handful of power of sales. They're just not out there. And I don't know, Paul, you used to get a few. Have you seen any lately?
I don't think we've done a power of sale in probably 2 years. I don't, but yeah.
Yeah, they're not there.
No.
They're just not there. I mean, again, I mean, we're in a circumstance today where the house values have gone up. So if somebody's in trouble, they're going to sell the house. They're not going to let the bank take it over. They're going to sell it and take their equity out because they've built some equity in there. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, if they're really behind on payments, that's your option. I mean, if something happens in your life where you lose your job, you go through a marital breakup, most people are smart enough to say, we're just going to sell our house and we'll go rent if we can't afford it on our own. So again, is that a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing. If your circumstances change, you need to adapt, just like we've all adapted over the last 16 months in the way we do business.
Paul, in the past year, did you see flips go up at all?
Flips were tough in the last year because you're paying so much high dollars for them, right? But at the same time, if we would have seen, you know, if I would have knew in January that by April the average sale price was up $117,000, I would have been jumping into the flips for sure. But no one saw that happening, right? So I think people were sort of sitting back going, oh, I can't get in now. I can't get any higher than this. And then the next month, well, whoa, geez, it's even higher. But I can't get involved now because it's going to go down. It just never went down. So
I'm just wondering because I would have thought a lot of the dog houses would have been sold in the past year because people could, you know, you could.
Well, and here's the thing. We've gone through, for the longest time, we've gone through an appetite of it has to be like the Taj Mahal in order to get it sold quick.
Yeah.
If there's any work that needs to be done, it just, your house is not selling unless you get that work done. And then as this market went crazy through 2020 and 2021, it didn't matter what your house looked like. Like I went to see a couple sellers and their house looked terrible. And they'd be like, well, we want to paint. We want to do this. We want to do this. I'm like, no, do nothing. Get it on the market just as it is because it will sell. And that has changed again. So now we're in a time right now where people are, I see all the feedback on our properties. And a lot of it is like, beautiful home, but we didn't like the paint color. Whereas before it was like, they didn't care about the paint color. Yeah. So now you have to have your house looking top notch in order to get top dollar for your home. And if you have any work to do, you need to be doing it. Obviously, depending on what needs to be done, don't do something without consulting us or a reputable real estate agent, because there's things you can do and there are things you shouldn't do in order to get your home sold.
What do you think is going to happen a couple of months from now? Are we going to get right back into great competition? Like if you have a house that doesn't show super well, should you wait or should you try to unload it now?
Well, I always tell you the best time to sell is yesterday. Like, so there's no bad time to sell. I think we're going to see a little bit of a lull over the next 30 to 45 days. And like I said, I think we're going to pick up again once kids go back to school. But I wouldn't hold off on selling your house thinking that that's going to happen because I don't have a crystal ball. Yeah. We've never seen what's happened in this market ever. We've never seen what COVID's done to our market. So I think that if you're one of those people that are thinking you'd hold off till fall, I wouldn't. I'd get it on the market now. But what should happen in the fall is I think once people get, you know, sort of the restaurants out of the way and their trips out of the way, and you know, the sun's starting to diminish a little bit, I think people will then start focusing again on real estate. And I just think right now, because I think we didn't go through COVID and we weren't locked down, I think we would probably be going through a crazy market right now.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, with everyone locked down, I just think people are just putting their hands up and saying, you know what, I'm not focusing on real estate right now. I'm focusing on my mental health and getting some sunshine. I think that's what's happening right now.
It's impossible to forecast, though, what's going to happen because, I mean, who knows? Fourth wave possible, different variants. You know, this could change the complexion from week to week.
It could. I mean, we don't. I think we're obviously heading in the right direction with so many people being vaccinated and the numbers so low. I think we're you can see the light right there.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think we're coming out of this. But I know there's still some people out there that are still very COVID scared and they don't want to do anything. And that's their prerogative. I know in real estate right now, they've opened up open houses now. So realtors can now do open houses. So that's another sign that we're starting to get back to normalcy where we can host people in a house and, you know, there's not as many parameters on what you can do and can't do. And I think that, you know, once we get back to our new norm, I think the market is going to be robust again, like it was.
What is the new norm?
Well, you know, that's it. What is the new norm, right? I mean, like, we've seen so many new norms that have changed and people have to adapt and adjust. And, you know, you're right. What is the new norm? Who knows?
Are you seeing a bit of a loosen up with your clients, Frank, willing to come into the office, whereas they wouldn't before?
I had 4 face-to-face clients this week, so it's opening up a little bit for sure. It's feeling, you know, I've had clients over the last few months ask, and it's like, let's wait it out. Let's make sure. But we're fortunate enough that most of my staff have either gotten one or two shots. We're well vaccinated. Still, we practice safety in our office. I mean, you have to take a temperature check when you walk in. You got to fill out a form. You got to keep your mask on. We've got dividers, plastic dividers between our desk and where our clients are. So we're doing that still.
Well, lucky for you, there's no height restriction, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But again, you know what? It was nice to be able to sit face to face with clients instead of on video. It's been, you know, I really enjoyed it this week. And boy, it just getting back into it. And it's fun. It's exciting for me.
Yeah.
I actually last weekend, while you guys were doing your show, obviously wasn't the A show because I wasn't on it, but I went to Tremblant, and it's like, it's almost like COVID doesn't even exist there. Like, no one's wearing masks. People were like touching right near each other. It's like, didn't even exist.
Wow. 521 Talk, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Frank, is it my imagination or is the spread between 1-3 and 5-year mortgages tighter than it's ever been?
Yeah, no question that there's not a big difference between taking a 1-year and a 5-year. I usually recommend to clients for taking a 1-year. The reason for to take a 1-year is because you're planning on selling the property, because if the economists are correct and rates are on the upswing, why would you take a 1-year mortgage and open yourself up to higher rates, you know, at the end of a year? So unless you're planning on selling the property or doing something else, you're better off to take a higher term. As far as the 3 years concerned, you know, once in a while you'll see banks have promotional 3- and 4-year rates. They're not that bad, depending on your circumstances. I mean, you have to accept the fact that the likelihood is there that once it comes up for renewal, the rates will likely be higher because, you know, it's hard to imagine that they're going to be much lower. But in some cases, you know, customers are just looking for that best rate up front and they're not really thinking about the back end. I think it's a mistake when you're talking about a big mortgage. But, you know, again, I mean, in some cases, you know, if you think that something's happening that you have to sell the property, I would rather you take a 3- or 4-year mortgage from a bank than a 5-year, because the 5-year's got the biggest discrepancy between posted and what they give you. Yeah. And the penalty number goes way up on a 5-year, not as much on a 3- or 4-year.
Well, or don't go to a bank.
Or don't go to a bank. Yeah, I go to a non-bank lender while you get where you get a, you know, a good chance of getting fair penalties.
I would have thought, though, that like the 1- and 2-year mortgages would have, they would try to make them a lot more attractive now, knowing that maybe 3 years down the road, rates are going to start going up.
Well, again, I think they have to look at the fact that what's the right thing to do. And yes, I mean, you could lower the 1- or 2-year if you want, but are you doing a favor for your clients by putting them in that position? If your own economists are telling everyone that rates are going to be higher in a year or two, you know, I'd like to think that the banks are actually doing what's right for consumers as well at some point.
Really?
And I, you know, I want to give them credit. Again, I see the good in people and I see the good in some companies and, you know, I'd like to think that that's the reason they're doing it. Plus their spread is much higher. You know, it might be less on a per year basis, but having it over 5 years, at least you got your client for 5 years as opposed to maybe giving him an option to get out at the end of a year or two.
Paul, I was on your website this morning. I see you've got a lot of properties on the outskirts. People still interested in moving outside the city?
They are. And, you know, I read an article actually this week that was saying, you know, what's going to happen once we open up and people are expected to be back at work, because there's a lot of people that were buying on the outskirts and because they were able to work from home. They didn't have to commute. It was easy. I mean, I could go live in Empire, I could go live in Embrome, I could go live in one of these outskirts and still work from home. Well, eventually employers are going to ask employees to come back to work. Not everybody, but there's a lot of people that are going to be asked to come back to work. Are those properties now going to be not as attractive? So it's hard to know. I mean, because we saw such a push to the outskirts, is it going to be a push back to the city afterwards when we start opening up and everything's back to normal? We don't know. It's hard to tell.
Have you guys ever seen a market with so many variables?
I personally haven't. I've been Frank's way older than me. So he might have seen similar to this, but I mean, let's be honest. I have never in my life gone through something like COVID, and I've never gone through a real estate market like this either, where, you know, who would have predicted that people would be losing jobs left, right, and center. There'd be this virus that was taking over the whole world, yet our market was going crazy. And it wasn't just the Ottawa market. It was the Canadian market. And because of my coaching program, I get a lot of American stats, and I talk to a lot of Americans. Even the American markets were going through everything that we were going through. So while people were losing jobs, prices were going through the roof, and the market was just skyrocketing, which is so odd.
But even moving forward, there's so many variables, you know? Are people still going to work from home?
Yeah. Are people working from home? Are they going to have to commute? Are people going to be working halftime from home and then halftime back into the office? What's going to happen? Are we going to go through a fourth wave? Is everything going to be open? Is there going to be some other variant strain that's going to hit us? What else is going to come? So it's really hard to know what's going to happen. And anyone who says they can predict what's going to happen has no clue, because nobody knows what's going to happen right now. It's so foreign.
Well, some of those predictions include a massive fall with prices going up again.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the same level. I think what we've seen the last 16 months is over with. I think we'll start to see in Ottawa that 3-5% increase in property values over the next 12 months. And I believe that that's what's going to happen. I don't believe the market's crashing like some people believe. I don't believe that. And I think the numbers are down a little bit as far as activity right now, only because of the fact that we're in the summer months and people are just taking time off and just chilling. That's all.
Keep in mind, in the first 6 months of the year, our number of sales is up 48.3% and our average sale price is up 30%.
Wow.
Keep in mind, in 2020, we're up 19.9%. So right now in the last 18 months, we're up 50% average sale price, which is a large number. So we can't continue to go up 20, 30, 40%. We're going to be in trouble and we're going to be in a bubble.
Yeah, it's not sustainable, right, Paul?
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. When you see the average sale price at the start of 2021 at $529,000, and right now we're just under $660,000, that's a large increase. And we can't sustain that. So I feel like this is okay. I know people are panicking, saying, well, my house would have sold for more earlier in the year. Well, no, your house has already appreciated more than you would have ever seen. So you're still in a solid seller's market. And, if you're thinking of selling or waiting till fall, get your home on the market. There's still lots of buyers looking.
Well, homes have appreciated the equivalent of 15, 20 years in what a regular market would be for Ottawa.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Going up that many, that would be like a 15, 20 year increase, just what we've done in the last 18 months. So, people have seen their houses, the value of their houses double. Some people have, more than doubled the value of their house over the last 2-3 years. So it's, we're in a very healthy market for sellers, and we're starting to get into a better market for buyers, which is nice as well.
And you have to understand, the perception is different. Prices are not coming down. It's just a little more competition to sell your place, right?
Well, where we used to see, okay, my neighbor sold for $610, I want $640, and then they sell for $640, oh, I want $670.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. Now, my neighbor sold for $615, I think I can set $620, $625. So it's just, we're just not seeing the drastic $150,000, $200,000 over asking price like we were seeing.
No, but the value is there. If somebody sold for $700,000 3 months ago, you're still going to get $700,000 for that house.
Yeah, whereas 3 months ago your house wasn't worth $700,000, it is now, right? So it's, that's what's happening in this market. That so if you feel like the market is slowing down, it is slowing down, but the prices are continuing to go up. So just a lot less now than they were in the start of the year.
The size of mortgages, Frank, is that making it tougher for people to qualify? Obviously, you've got to make more money.
You got to make a little more money, but again, if you're in a position where you bought a house 4 years ago or 5 years ago, and now you're selling your house and maybe upgrading to a different home. Again, you got to remember that the home that you bought maybe, 5 years ago, you bought for $300,000. Now you're selling it for $600,000. So that's number one. And then number two, yes, you're paying $800,000 for that single home that you would have bought for much less if the values didn't go with where they are. But what's important is that you've now built $350,000 in equity where you went into that first home with a 5% down payment.
Yeah, I'm thinking more first-time home buyers, though.
Well, first-time home buyers, it's tough. I mean, you're having to come up with 5% of the first $500,000 and then 10% between $500,000 and $1 million. So you're having to come up with a little more down payment. Your income, I mean, assuming you have no debt, you can get up to 5 times your annual income for a mortgage, and then you add your down payment on top of that. But if you have you know, some debt, a car loan or two, student loans, credit card debt. I mean, that number could be only three or four times. So it is more difficult. But again, if a couple, you know, the rule of thumb now is almost if you're not making $100,000 as a couple, it's going to be difficult to qualify for a home or an individual, unless you've got a significant down payment. Because as you know, if the down payment is 20% or more, we can go to a 30-year amortization.
Right.
And therefore, it's a little bit easier to qualify if we can get to that 30-year amortization mark.
Wow. So many variables, so little time.
But rates, again, I mean, rates is the key. And that's what's keeping payments low today. Yes, the properties are more expensive. But if rates were, you know, 3.5%, which is double almost what they are now, that would make it much worse. So that's why there's a part of me that I get economists are saying, I hear what Bank of Canada is saying, but there's the other part of me that says, I'm not so sure that rates can go up that much moving forward. I think.
Yeah, but where does the market go if in 5 years rates are that high?
Well, again, I mean, that's a good question, but everybody that's qualifying for a mortgage now is qualifying at 5.25. So unless their circumstances have changed, they should still be able to afford their mortgage in their house. And if their house has gone up, you know, by 3 to 5% every year, then they've built up some good equity in there too. And if you had originally purchased your home with 5% down, my guess is that 5 years down the road, you've got some equity in there. And if you're finding it tough to, maybe there's an opportunity to refinance and now amortize it over 30 years and give yourself some payment flexibility.
And we think the new normal won't go above 3.5%, right?
I don't believe so. I think that, again, I think that the interest rate increases will be very gradual by nature. Keep in mind, I mean, we've got a government that's got debt that we've never seen ever before. And the interest cost to carry that debt is humongous for each and every one of us here in Canada, because we're paying that interest cost. So I don't believe that rates could go up significantly. Do I think that they're going to go up? Sure, I do. But I don't think it's going to be to the level that some people are predicting.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Back with our final segment right after this.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Caller question, gentlemen. Once you've made your down payment, how much money should you have left in your account? What are you going to need money for after it's all closed
Boy.
And done?
It's a good question. I mean, always keep into account what's going on with the with your you know, closing costs and stuff, because there's some, you know, again, when you've never purchased a home before, you're kind of, okay, what do I need money for? And you know, a really good mortgage broker or bank will go through those numbers with you. I'm usually within a couple of $100. I can predict within a couple of $100 exactly what you'll need. Again, you're getting into a home, so you need to have money for that rainy day. I mean, you get into a home, you never know what can happen and what you want to do to your home. So, you know, I wouldn't put every single penny and leave yourself dry unless you've got a line of credit that you can simply afford to make the payments on should you have to tap into it, and then start building your savings again. But, you know, good rule of thumb for me is always leave yourself anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 still available in one form or another, and know that if you had to borrow it from a line of credit, you've got the ability to pay it back quite quickly.
Keep in mind too what you're buying. I mean, if you're buying a house that needs some fixing up, you're going to need a little more money than that. And like Frank said, save for a rainy day. You never know what's going to happen, right?
So, yeah, I imagine though people trying to get into the market for the first time are stretched pretty thin.
Yeah, I would think so too. I mean, it's tough, right? Like, you used to be able to get a townhouse for $325,000. Now you have to pay $525 to $600, to sometimes even more, $700 for a townhouse. So the entry level, most entry levels now for first time home buyers are sort of like terrace home condos.
Yeah,
is what most people are getting into, because even those are in the fours now. So,
because I do remember getting into my first home, I knew it was going to be a tough 6 months to squeak by the first 6 months, but in order to get in, that's what I had to do, bite the bullet and say, okay, you make a few sacrifices until you can get back up on your feet again.
You have to, and especially if you're coming from a renter. Like, as a renter, you don't have any expenses except for your rent, right? Like, I mean, you're not paying any, well, your utilities, but I mean, you're not paying any repairs, any property taxes, any condo fees. You're just paying your rent. So if you now as a homeowner, you have to budget for other things like roofs and windows and repairs and paint and lights. And you just have to prepare for things that you didn't have to prepare for as a renter.
Well, yeah, and little things go up too, like heat and hydro, because the place is bigger usually.
Yeah. One of the most frustrating bills is when you have sort of like your home internet and phone, and those bills are so out of control right now. It's unbelievable. Like, try to get a TV bill now. It's just ridiculous. So many people don't use TVs anymore.
Yeah.
Now, the younger generation, you're right, they stream a lot. So they'll get into these free sites that are all over the place, and they'll stream events. And, you know, I can tell you that all three of my adult kids, none of them have cable packages. They all have, you know, they'll have Netflix, which, of course, mom and dad pay for, and they just feed off of it. And but they'll do that kind of stuff. And that's this new generation. I think this is where these major corporations got to figure out how to tap into it. It's not so easy, though, because there's a lot of sites out there that you can get some programming from.
Yeah.
That's something to think about if you're moving to the country, right, Paul?
Yes, absolutely. And not in the country. Not only the country. What about the cottages and those type of areas, right? Like, I know that one of the first questions, I know my mom was selling a cottage up here in Constance Bay. And the first question she always got was, what's the Wi-Fi like? What's the internet like? That was one of the first questions she got, because people who are working from home need that. They need good internet. And if you're in the country or you're somewhere where the internet is not great and you're trying to work from home, it's very, very frustrating.
Well, and it can be a lot more expensive too.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, it very well can be. And I mean, a lot of times there's so many different devices that you have to buy just to get that good internet, and it becomes expensive, but it's a must for people who are, especially the way this economy is going, the way the world's gone to working from home, having good internet's a very important thing.
Oh, it's a must. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
On your website today, I'm looking at line of credit. It's pretty cheap to get a line of credit now. The interest rate is good, eh, Frank?
Well, home equity lines of credits are at prime plus a half generally. Sometimes you can get a little bit better depending on your circumstances, but, you know, expect anywhere between prime plus a quarter or prime plus a half. When prime's sitting at 2.45%, yeah, that's cheap money that you can borrow. And if you're doing a home upgrade and your mortgage is not up for renewal yet, and the penalty is too excessive to break it, the home equity line of credit comes in if you've got the equity to be able to do that. Again, the house value is going up by you doing the renovation, so the way I see it, it's a win-win. And then once that mortgage comes up for renewal, you can blend the two together and just have the one mortgage. So I don't think there's anything wrong with going that route. Some people don't want to borrow against their home. They've built up some equity. But I always say, if you're borrowing against your home and you're taking that equity and making your home even more valuable and you get to enjoy it, why not do it?
But probably not a bad idea this time of year as we go into fall and the market is going to get a little tighter. If you have to do any upgrades to your house, grab a line of credit.
I think finding tradespeople is a tough part, and the materials are starting to come back down to earth. So we're starting to see the prices of wood come back down. We're starting to see some more product coming in where there was a big slowdown. Now it seems like, you know, even vehicles. I mean, you drive by some dealerships these days, and boy, their parking lot used to be full of cars, and now they're half empty. But now I'm hearing from friends of mine that work in that industry that the deliveries are starting to come, and by the end of August they'll be fully stocked. So,
as long as they can get their chips, on the wood. As long as they can get chips.
Yes, that's what's holding them all up is the chips. But apparently they're starting to get to where they're supposed to be.
Paul, good time for people to get you in to see what they want to do between now and the fall if they're thinking of selling for the fall.
I strongly recommend it because we're seeing a bit of a different market now. Like, you know, you didn't have to get me in the door to tell you what to do to your house, you know, over the last 6 months, because I would have just said, get your house on the market. That's what you need to do to your house.
Yep.
Now we're getting into a little bit more competition. There's more listings on the market, and you actually have to make sure your house is tickety-boo. And so get me through the door before that happens. I'll tell you what to upgrade, what not to upgrade, where to spend your money, what upgrades are good tangible upgrades that are going to give you a good return, and what are ones you just don't waste your money on. So get me a reputable agent through the door who will help you do all that and get your house prepared to go.
The two automatics are clean and paint, right?
Paint, light fixtures, declutter, clean. Absolutely. Those are like, if you don't have the money to do anything, those are the four things I tell you to do is clean your house, declutter your house, paint your house, and change the light fixtures to a nice modern light fixture.
Fewer and fewer homes with carpeting too, I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's especially with that people with allergies and that. And what's very, very popular these days are sort of vinyl click floors, becoming very popular. There's nice laminates, even though you guys, if you watch my TV show, you know I hated laminate flooring.
They were, but the laminates have changed a lot in that time.
They're changed a lot. I mean, in fact, you know, my girlfriend's putting laminate in her house right now, and it looks really good. It looks like almost like a hardwood. The flooring, the carpet, I mean, you still see carpet upstairs. You still see lots of people with carpet on the upstairs, but on the main level, very few people have carpet on their main level. Very few.
And what about two kitchens? Are you seeing a lot of that, Paul?
Just when I go see Frank and his family, yes. I notice how people obviously can't see it because we're on Zoom, but Frank's got his what is that, your little scarf in the background, your Italy scarf?
My Italy t-shirt.
Italy t-shirt on, oh my God.
Proud Italian, proud of people that have two kitchens, and my money is on those houses sell real quickly, Paul.
Especially if the couches are covered.
Yes.
Got to have the
plastic. Really, though, like seriously, you're joking, but, you know, someone goes to see a house and it's got two kitchens, I think there's some interest in that, no?
Well, that's one there of is. Us.
There is, though, because don't forget, people now are putting families together, right? And when mom and dad live in the basement, they want their own kitchen. Yeah. You know, so.
Birthdays, Frank.
I've got a few. A big Kyle Miller is with us celebrating his 40th birthday this week. So happy birthday to Kyle. Patricia from our sales support team is celebrating her birthday. Jackie Grinnell, one of our agents, celebrating her birthday. My mom forced me to say that my cousin from Italy is celebrating her birthday. Auguri Clara. So not that she's listening, I don't think. But
well, she will.
My mom's listening.
She will on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to wish one of my super agents, Tim Finley, had a happy birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Tim. Nice. That's actually Dora's partner.
So it's Paul at paulrushford.com, Frank N. at mortgagebrokersottawa.com. Have a great week, and who knows what we're going to be talking about next week. This whole thing could change again.
Yep.
You very well could. Have a great week, everybody.
Support local shops and charities, please.